I'd like to tell you the story of a man named Terrence. His real name isn't Terrence, but for the sake of this story, it is. Terrence lived in an area that was safe. Played baseball, even though he wasn't very good at it. He played saxophone, and he was pretty good at playing the saxophone. But his father got a new job, and they moved to Orange County, California, to a place sometimes referred to as the block. He began hanging out in an arcade. And at the arcade, he found pinball. And he really enjoyed the game of pinball. And there was a man who would come and play pinball with Terrence. Terrence was all of 12 years old. They'd play pinball together. And one day, this man told Terrence, "You know, I've got a pinball machine at my apartment. Maybe you could come and play pinball with me at my apartment." And Terrence, being young, naive, thought, "Hey, that would be great. Not going to have to eat my quarters. Going to get to go and play pinball with this guy who's my friend." He went to the man's apartment, and there was no pinball machine. It was at that time that man took advantage of the trust of Terrence. Then proceeded to tell him, "Don't tell anyone, or someone's going to think something's wrong with you." It was a downward spiral from after that for Terrence. He stopped playing baseball. He stopped playing saxophone. Got mixed up into drugs. Ended up getting married, yet was unfaithful to his spouse because he felt the need to overtake women. Has a strained relationship with his children. Has a strained relationship with everyone. But Terrence finally had the courage to relieve this burden and let people know that he was hurting. Now, Terrence, if you were to see him, strong-looking man, large muscles, but he kept this hidden for some 40 years, and it wrecked his life. You know, statistically, they say that for various types of abuse, that 1 in 4 girls, 1 in 6 boys will be abused. When we learn about the aspect of child abuse, physical child abuse, 30% of those who are abused as children will in turn abuse their own children, continuing the horrific cycle of abuse. In another study, 80% of 21-year-olds that were abused as children met the criteria for at least one psychological disorder. And sadly, those who have been abused often feel all alone, and they feel all alone with their secret. Alone in their experience, alone and unwelcome, not feeling like they can be themselves, even in their own skin. And there are too many stories of children who have tried to share their experience and have not been believed or have been silenced. Sometimes the threats of the abuser silence the victim, much like Terrence. And the person then carries this deep, dark secret alone and in silence for many years. You know, other times, the victim may not be able to reach out for help because of the incredible amount of self-loathing that they experience. Victims of abuse feel that they do not deserve to be heard or to receive compassion. Guys like Terrence, self-loathing, beating themselves up for something that truly was not their fault. A continual cycle of self-talking and self-doubt. Their self-concept has been broken and distorted. And meanwhile, the church has been silent for too long, because the truth of abuse can make us uncomfortable. Even here, where of all places one should be able to seek healing, it may not feel safe to tell the things that burden us the most. Is it possible that we have unknowingly communicated a message that says, "You're unclean, and this is a place that is holy. Do not disturb our peace"? Is there a chance that we have let that come across? We must make this a safe place for those who are struggling to be able to get the help and the support from their Christian brothers and sisters that they truly deserve to have. For the man I spoke of, he may be all around us. He may be our wife, our sister, our husbands, our brothers, our neighbor, the person in the office or cubicle next to ours. Could be any one of us here this morning. What I want to tell you is, you're not alone. And if you're in need of healing, let's let that process begin. Our first point this morning: it isn't your fault. It is not your fault. Oftentimes, the victims of abuse try to point the finger back to themselves and say, "If it wasn't for how I am, I wouldn't have been abused." That's not the case at all. We see a biblical pattern and a biblical principle that states the opposite. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in his body, whether good or evil." We will all stand individually before God. Those who have committed horrendous acts of violence upon others will stand before God. They will answer for the acts that they have committed. The victims will not stand before God to try to say they were to defend themselves for what was done. Because being the victim doesn't make you wrong. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, Solomon said, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil." But if we're going to talk about the root of having to stand for your sins, I couldn't help but go back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves loincloths." We individually were not a part of that first sin, were we? But today, we answer for that sin that was committed. I don't have to repent because of what Adam and Eve did. We don't have to repent of being a victim of a crime. It is those who commit the sin are the ones who need to seek repentance. Our second point this morning: you don't have to stay silent. You don't have to stay silent. One of the most important steps toward healing for abuse victim is the ability to tell their story, and not only to tell their story, but to be believed, to know that they are safe, and to know that they are loved, to be alone no more, to be silent no more. And the family that meets here at the North Jefferson Church of Christ will be a place where those who are hurting and spiritually sick will be safe to heal their wounds. Even more so, I pray that we will be sharing the good news that a Savior loves these men and women beyond what they could ever imagine, and provide hope that in the arms of Christ they can find healing and restoration. God does not make bad things happen, but He can use these things for good. One of the sad things about mankind is that abuse is going to continue. The next generation, the generation after that, until Jesus returns, people will mistreat others. Those who have been victims have been able to find themselves standing strong, letting people know what they endured in going to the hurting and letting them know that there is a better way than hiding it and burying it. And being sick with sadness. We can do good. The bad things that we endure in our lives can be turned to a positive if we aid those who are hurting, because we will know what they endured. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, turn all your anxiety over to God because He cares for you. God loves each and every one of us. God desires for us to be His children, obedient to the gospel. If we continue to keep things silent, hidden, not getting the help that we need so we can be as strong as we can be spiritually, we're not turning our anxiety over to God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. When Paul was writing to the church of Galatia, he was saying, don't go back. Don't return to a life of sinfulness. You know, we have people that come out of the world, obedient to the gospel. We have people that may share the things that they've endured. But then instead of continuing to grow, they let those thoughts of the abuse that occurred dominate their thoughts. And what that does is sidetracks them from being the Christian that they could be. In Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Oftentimes, the perpetrators of these horrendous acts will say, you need to be silent. You know, whether they have that right or not, which they don't. We must stand and say, I'm not going to be silent. I'm going to stand for myself, and I'm going to stand up for God, being the best Christian that I can possibly be. You don't have to suffer alone. You don't have to suffer alone. In Romans 15, verse 1 and verse 2, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those whose strength and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good and to build him up. We don't have to suffer alone. We don't have to stand by ourselves. We are to bear one another's burdens. If someone this morning were to say, I'm hurting, something from the past has hurt me deeply, I need your help and I need your prayers, I can know without a shadow of a doubt that the brethren here will rally around those who are hurting, lift them up in prayer, lift them up in deeds, and do our best to get you on your spiritual feet. Because that is what we've been called to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24, remember, the sins of some people are obvious, leading them to certain judgment, but there are others whose sins will not be revealed until later. Some people let anger consume them with the fact that their abusers not being brought justice here on earth. You know, sometimes the sin of some people are obvious. We see that someone is a scoundrel. We can know that someone is a scoundrel. Some people are able to fool everyone their entire lives, but they can't fool God. They can't fool God. You don't have to suffer alone. This is not necessarily a lesson against the aggressor, because God will take care of them if they don't repent. This lesson is to embolden the hurting, to know that they do not have to suffer alone. We are a church family. This isn't a sanctuary for the saved. This is a hospital for the sick. This is a place for those who are hurting to get the help that they need. If you're hurting, don't stay silent. Let us help you. Let us work with you, because you don't have to suffer alone. That is the beauty that God has set forth in the church, His chosen people. While we will all individually stand before God on the day of judgment, we can collectively work together, helping heal each other's wounds, standing strong for God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear one another other's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When someone is hurting, we don't need to get aggravated because we might be a little bit late to lunch, or we might be a little bit late to go home, or it might butt into our hobby time and things of that nature. We need to be a people who are ready and active to help those who are hurting, to help them get back on their spiritual feet so that they can go on and help people who have endured similar things. That's the beauty of our Christian walk. I have endured different trials than you have. You have endured different trials than I have. Those abilities will allow us to reach out to different types of people in our community. We need to utilize the things that make us special and make us unique so that we can be effective servants for the kingdom. As I said before, Romans 15:1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. When people are hurting, we need to help them stand up. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. The conclusion of the lesson this morning: no one has the right to abuse someone else. I assure you that that is not your fault. Victims of abuse, it's not your fault. You do not have to stay silent. Don't carry this burden, much like this little fella carrying that great big pumpkin. You don't have to carry a burden alone. It may not be that you're the victim of abuse. It may be a burden that you're carrying that is making you tired spiritually. Don't stay silent. If you need help, we're here to help. And know that you don't have to suffer alone. You don't have to suffer alone. Not when you have the Lord's church. We made it clear that God does not cause these things to happen, but He'll use them for good. This morning, if you're harboring pain from an abuse, pain from another trial, let us help you. Don't stay silent. Don't suffer alone. We love you. We care about you. We want you to be as strong as you possibly can be. If this lesson has pricked your heart, and you say, you know, I need that help, get that help. Don't suffer any longer alone. Don't carry the burden that's too heavy to bear. But if you're not a Christian, as always, we encourage you to become one. We'd love to study with you, let you know about Jesus, the need for repentance, confession, and why we preach baptism for the remission of sins, as that's what the Bible says. And we'll help you grow in the best life that you can possibly live. This morning, if you're hurting, if you're in pain, if you're suffering, if you need to ease your burden, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.